It is Friday, July 24th. Let's talk PlayStation. Hello, everyone. So for the most part, another pretty busy week. We have a lot to go over, but as always, we start with our PlayStation Plus reminder. The July games that are currently available, that's NBA 2K20, Rise of the Tomb Raider, and your bonus game, Erica. You have a little less than 2 weeks left to download these games or add them to your library, so you better hop on that. But for our first story, PS4 firmware 8.0, the beta invites are going out right now, and this is the same situation as the last two or three PS4 firmwares we saw, where if you accept and install this firmware, you can't use party chat features with any of your friends on the outgoing firmware because most of the changes are relating to those party chat features. However, if you do receive a code or get access to a code, it's still shareable with up to 20 friends, so smooths out that transition a little bit, so some people aren't locked out of being able to chat with their friends. But some of the highlights here, we've got patch notes. You can now use your group across party and messages. You can send messages to a group you created for a party or start a party with a group you've messaged with previously. Messages have been added to the screen during parties. When you select messages, you'll see the message exchange between members of your group. The public-private settings for parties have been removed. Only members of the group can join the party. Members of your party can now see when your mic is muted. This one's a bit odd. You can join parties even if there are members that you've blocked. When you join a party with a blocked member, or when a blocked member joins the party, you'll receive a notification. During the party, you won't hear each other, and the game you're playing, as well as your share play status, won't be displayed. In addition, the blocked member won't be notified that you've blocked them. So I don't know. There's a lot of this is a bit of a step back, in my opinion. Mute all microphones has been added to the quick menu under sound and devices. The setting mutes all microphones connected to your PS4. Got some slight updates to communities here. You can no longer create parties from the community area. You'll need to create a group in a party. You can no longer create a new event in events, so events created before the update will still be held, and events and tournaments hosted by game developers will continue to take place. For some features, the content displayed on the screen has changed, as well as the screen design. To be totally honest, I'm completely surprised that we are even still getting something noteworthy in the way of PS4 firmware updates, although you'd have to figure that maybe some of this is some back-end support for how PS5 and PS4 will be handling party chat and community-driven features moving forward, since these consoles will be able to talk back and forth with one another. So maybe there's something there, but otherwise another fairly lackluster PS4 firmware update. So last week, shortly after Let's Talk PlayStation, we got Jeff Keighley's hands-on with the DualSense in his live stream for Summer Games Fest. It was about a 24-minute live stream. It wasn't super revealing, to be totally honest, but it was still nice to see the controller outside of product shots, and that's exactly what we saw. He describes the controller as being a little bit larger and a little heavier than the DualShock 4, and that was certainly evident from a lot of the photos that we've already seen, but this gives us the best representation so far, where the handles are longer, that touchpad obviously much larger. It's not, I think, going to be a problem for most people. The buttons are still the same size, right? But at the very least, this might fit a lot more hands than what the outgoing DualShock 4 was able to do. Also, we can clearly see no back buttons. I was saying that for quite a while and warning you all, there is nothing back there. They don't show the back because there's no reason to show the back. Thankfully, that can be put to rest. But we did get some new footage of Astro's Playroom, which, remember, there's going to be a free game pre-installed on every single PS5 at launch. Well, really, for the foreseeable future with PlayStation 5. But somewhat smaller platform that'll have these purpose-built levels to really showcase the features of the DualSense, so that'll be a lot of fun to jump into when you bring home your PS5 on launch. There's actually a lot of cool nods to PlayStation history in this game. Like, the fat PlayStation 3 showed up in this gameplay, which was awesome. That's still my favorite console design, and I love that Sony keeps acknowledging that original model. But like we mentioned, the live stream was mostly this interview with Sony's head of global marketing, Eric Lempel, where he did share a number of interesting quotes, like this one here, where he says, "A big pillar of our company is innovation. It's a pillar of Sony Corporation, and it's also a pillar of the PlayStation company. We are always trying to push the boundaries of play. We want to excite gamers and deliver new experiences. In many cases, we can't take everyone with us from previous consoles because you need new hardware and devices." This is one of those things where the first part of that quote, nothing of substance, but the second part, it's funny that it's even there, right? Because this conversation probably would never be taking place if Microsoft was doing what we all expected with a brand new console generation, which is exclusive games. But since they're going out of their way to say, we're supporting Xbox One, we don't like these, you know, strategies that have been employed for every other console manufacturer, ourselves included, in the past. And so it's almost akin to 2013, where Sony had to go out of their way to say, we're supporting used games, right? Where you somewhat expect it, or at the very least, they expected it. And this is the same case here, where they now have to directly say, we believe in generations, and yes, we're going to be doing exclusive games, and they even have to say, like, there's players we're not going to be able to take with us. That's why they want to transition PS4 players to PS5, because they're a business and they want to sell a lot of consoles. Now, one thing a lot of people still can't seem to come to terms with here is that we're getting a white console and a white controller on launch day. But Jeff Keighley did ask Eric Lampell about this, if we'll see additional colors for the DualSense or a PS5 down the road. And Eric unsurprisingly said it's going to be white on launch day, and they'll talk about additional colors at a later date or a later time, really. So as if it wasn't really expected, but there you go. You'll see something at some point, but not on launch. And perhaps the biggest takeaway from this live stream is that he openly acknowledged those pre-order rumors that we heard about for July 13th, right? Where a lot of people believe that, and he said he has no idea how those rumors actually started, but they will not drop pre-orders on a moment's notice. You will be able to know ahead of time so you can prepare and sort your options out for how you want to pre-order the system, right? You can set up accounts on other websites, you can wait outside a retail store, whatever you want. Now, we also discussed this on Tuesday's video, but we also saw from PlayStation's official website where they do fulfillment, they fulfill orders where you can buy PlayStation hardware, that there's some source code on that website suggesting that if you try to check out with more than one PS5 when pre-orders do go live, that will not be the case. It's one PS5 per customer, so it's good that they're mandating that through their fulfillment center. Hopefully that's the same case for other retailers. Usually it's a two per customer limit, but hopefully one, and that goes alongside the fact that we learned they're doubling manufacturing for PS5. But some other source code that was also found on their website was that there's now a PS5 compatible label. So it's on this for every single product page on the website. So it doesn't mean DualShock 4 is compatible. It doesn't mean so-and-so accessory is compatible, but rather they do have a button made for when they want to use this on the website to let you know what accessories and games will be PS5 compatible, which surely will be most of this stuff, right? But for now, at least, it's just source code that they have prepared ahead of time. So how's everybody enjoying Ghost of Tsushima? I feel like I'm going through it pretty slowly, personally, but for the most part, really enjoying it, having a good time with it. And it seems many other people felt the same way, or at least over in Japan, where this was the best PlayStation exclusive debut ever in that country. The game's totally sold out, so I think Sucker Punch is very thrilled with that information. But we also learned over on the PlayStation blog, Sucker Punch's co-founder Brian Fleming, he shared some of the original concepts and ideas that were kicked around before they decided on this game, which was exploring the Three Musketeers, the Scottish outlaw Rob Roy McGregor, and even pirates, which would have been pretty cool. But perhaps the most revealing thing this week was actually some leaked footage online of a title called The Prophecy, or just Prophecy. And it's a lot of footage, like 9 minutes or more than 9 minutes came out. I can't show it to you because everything that hosts this footage is getting taken down, so maybe I'll just do screenshots. But basically looks like, kind of like Assassin's Creed, a medieval Ghost of Tsushima, probably the best way to put it. A lot of the footage highlights a lot of characteristics and animations and, you know, textures and just assets that were actually moved over to that particular game. Not a whole lot, but there's certainly some things that you can cherry pick out of there that looks familiar in Ghost of Tsushima. This looks pretty far along. A lot of people would probably consider this a canceled project, but I guarantee you that the way this footage was presented from start to finish with a, you know, beginning scripted sequence and then a title at the end looks very much like a pre-production slice where in pre-production you make 4 or 5 completed levels. Like, it looks like a fairly finished looking game, except that's all they have, and that little slice right there is the proof of concept of whether they should go into full production or not. And so I wouldn't necessarily call this canceled, but it is something where it very much looks like a purpose-built section of a game that they highly considered before they were looking into pursuing this as a full project. Now, while we're somewhat on the topic of sales with Ghost of Tsushima, another thing we learned was the top 5 best-selling PS4 exclusives in the U.S. ranked by dollar sales. This is coming from MPD's Matt Piscatella over on Twitter, where he reveals number 1 is Marvel's Spider-Man, number 2 is God of War, number 3 is Horizon Zero Dawn, and then 4 and 5 recent releases in The Last of Us Part 2 and Final Fantasy VII Remake. So great to see that FF7 Remake scratched the number 5 pretty quickly, but also only a month and The Last of Us Part 2 is on there, and I would have gathered that it will probably reach at least number 3 or 2. Probably not number 1 at this point. Spider-Man did way too good, especially in the US, but still very impressive numbers to see. Also, while we are mentioning the Final Fantasy VII Remake, it's important to note that we do have confirmation about the sequel in full production, which is good to hear. It's still going to take a while, as noted by the co-director of the game, where in a conversation with GamesTalk.net, he says, development on the next game has already begun and we're hard at work. You'll be waiting a little while, but please look forward to it. Not exactly surprising news, and we've had some conversations about how long it's going to take for this whole thing to really fully release, right? I mean, at minimum, what, 2 more parts? And this one's going to take another 2-3 years minimum. Definitely probably 3, right? Well into the PS5 life cycle, so it's going to be a while. Next up, this is more of a cautionary news story, but still worth pointing out and clearing up for people. We've got this picture that was posted on Twitter this past week, which appears to be a PS5 retail kiosk being set up in the United Kingdom. But not only is this rather old, but Sony has already followed up stating that this is not PS5 related in any way, shape, or form. So just understand that while it does look very PS5-esque, it is not in any way, shape, or form actually for PS5 hardware being demoed in person. In fact, the clear giveaway here is that it just says PlayStation, not PS5 specifically, which, let's face it, they absolutely would want to put the PS5 label on this thing. Also, it's during a pandemic where it's not very appropriate to be handling controllers and things like that in a play area. Now moving on to our next news story, just yesterday Microsoft had their second Xbox game showcase, and as I often say on this channel, always important to watch their live streams as well. Could be a lot of cool software that you'd want to buy, but also some third party and a lot of console launch exclusive, which basically means at some point it will be on PS4 and PS5. So let's very quickly recap the entire event just so you're caught up, but also for some context on the conversation we'll have after the fact. So in their pre-show, they showed off Balan Wonderworld, which is a beautiful looking platformer. I love how many platforms we're getting. This is from the creator of Sonic and also Knights, that game on Wii, if you remember a long time ago. Also, Hello Neighbor 2 was announced as well. But getting into the actual show, they started off with some Halo Infinite gameplay. That was pretty lengthy there. State of Decay 3, a cinematic trailer, Series X and PC only. Same for the next one, Forza Motorsport. There was a trailer there. Everwild for Rare, that's more their area for this type of game, so great to see them doing this. Tell Me Why from Dontnod, the first chapter out in August. Ori and the Will of the Wisps getting Series X enhancements. You've got Outer Worlds Peril on Gorgon. This is an expansion, September 9th, still coming to PS4. Grounded from Obsidian Entertainment. They had the best joke I've ever seen during a live stream where they said, hey, the best game this year, or the most you're looking forward to the most is Cyberpunk, but we're also doing this game. I thought that was great. Avowed, though, this is also from Obsidian. This might be probably one of the biggest announcements here. This could be a big AAA RPG for Series X and PC down the road. As Dusk Falls, so this is an interesting story-driven narrative. I love the approach of how this game looks, actually, but that was announced. They discussed Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, but no gameplay or anything like that. Trailer for Psychonauts 2. Remember, this is still coming to PS4 as well. Then a trailer for Destiny 2 Beyond Light. So if you're into Destiny, you probably saw something you liked here. And then from this point in the show, all these are console launch exclusives. So at some point, these are coming to PS4 or PS5. Both are just PS5. Stalker 2. So this was great to see return. A lot of people very excited about this. Warhammer 40,000 Dark Tide. That's coming 2021. Tetris Effect Connected. That's holiday 2024. Microsoft, so come into PlayStation later. The Gunk, this was also a pretty cool platformer. Then we got some gameplay for The Medium. I actually really like how this game looks, and I like how it's turning out, and so I'm pleased to see that it's coming to PlayStation. New Genesis Phantasy Star Online 2 was pretty wild. That's 2021. Crossfire X, trailer for that. And then also, this would not be for PlayStation, but the Fable reboot coming from Playground Games. And that was basically the Microsoft show. Which, to be honest, I thought was fine. I mean, it wasn't blown away, but I didn't think it was bad either. And I called this right away where most people are going to think this is bad. But a lot of that just plays into where we are at this point, where most people have already decided what they're buying, right? Even subject to price, most people are going to be, you know, picking what they want. And so if you're buying a Series X and you know that, you probably thought the show was fine or good. And if you're not, then you probably hated the show. But my genuine reaction is that, or my genuine concern, rather, is that not a lot of gameplay, a lot of cinematic trailers. And the reason for that is a lot of these first-party games are actually slated for just Series X and PC. Now, why? Because Microsoft has already confirmed they're supporting Xbox One. Well, that means these titles are 2+ years out, and we know for a fact some of them have been announced in pre-production, which baffles me because there's still so much that could change or even get potentially canceled in pre-production. So that is more concerning to me than anything else. But the variety of games, the different genres, a lot of interesting stuff. I'm definitely going to be buying a lot of these games to play them and enjoy them. But there's also the Halo gameplay that a lot of people are clowning around for it being visually unimpressive. And certainly it's got some rough patches in that footage if you really skim through it. But keep in mind, I don't know, Halo to me has always been not a visually stunning game, right? I mean, it looks good, looks fine, but it's not supposed to be a showstopper. Whereas at least the very first game and the second game, living on the original Xbox, remember the original Xbox was some pretty capable hardware back in its heyday. And that's where we saw some of the very first applications of specular maps. So the games looked very nice for their time, but beyond that, once Halo 3 came around, I mean, you had Gears of War looking pound for pound much better than Halo 3, right? And that wasn't really a problem back then either. I think people are just looking for that huge visual jump, which, remember, we're really in diminishing returns right now. But really, outside of that, we are looking at this show through the PlayStation lens, presumably, right? Many of us are here because we primarily play on PlayStation. And the thing you have to understand, or at least the thing that I've consistently said time and time again, is that these two companies clearly have two different diverging paths. And so I guarantee you, Microsoft isn't as concerned about selling you a Series X as much as they want you to buy Game Pass on any preferred platform. And also, it's just very difficult to match Sony's first-party output. You don't do it from aggressive studio acquisitions. Now, the fact that they've done all that in the past 2 years shows their commitment to the gaming space, and I love that. But still, you're not going to match the quality of Sony's output within 2 years and just straight-up money and buying your way into it, right? That takes a lot of time, fostering that talent, letting those studios really flourish. And, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, so I don't know why people are expecting it from Microsoft, but I hope it would happen within a few years. And I've also said many times over, Sony's probably still going to sell more PS5s, right? I've been saying that for over a year, before all the live streams, crucial details, what the systems looked like, before price, that Sony would have to do really bad in order to not sell more PS5s. And that's not to say that Microsoft isn't doing well with Series X or that they're not a genuine threat or any of those things, but rather, it's just, at this point in the game, it's going to be a very tough sell for Microsoft to truly match the same place where Sony's at with their lineup and their hardware, certainly their brand recognition. It's just, it's going to be an uphill battle for Microsoft, and but that doesn't mean that they don't have a compelling product on hand. Now, having said all that, when is Sony's next event, that rumored state of play that we're hearing about in August? This is something where, once again, I can't really ignore this because it's getting more attention than the previous pre-order rumor, and yet it's the same source, which is Robert Serrano over on Twitter claiming August 6th will be our next state of play for PMPT. So maybe if you didn't heed my warning last time, heed it here. Don't bank on this actually happening. I'm well aware that this account got the previous event correct, but remember, it could be secondhand, third-hand information. And not to discredit Robert Serrano here, but at this point in the game, you could easily guess this state of play in August, considering we have credible sources suggesting that it already is taking place in August, so we know that there probably isn't a state of play coming, but also lands on another Thursday with the same timestamp as the previous events that have already taken place, right? So don't count on this actually happening, but eventually we will get another state of play, just a matter of when. And in terms of what we could expect for a next state of play, remember there's still a lot we don't know about PS5, namely the UI, so we need a general UI presentation. There's still a handful of announcements that could take place, right? E3 has been trickled throughout all of summer, and so that could go right into fall for some games. Like, we still don't know about the next Call of Duty, which you have to figure is going to be associated with PlayStation. We still have the Silent Hill soft reboot. That might be one that they've got in their pocket, but there can't be much else really in the way of games. There's also, I would still love to see PS4 software running on PS5. I still think there should be something there. There's still a good amount we could see for a state of play, and probably one or two state of plays up until launch. We still also need the console breakdown that Mark Cerny promised, so there's still a lot more coming for PS5 news. Now, dialing back a little bit, if you remember the announcement that 2K will be pricing NBA 2K20 at $70 on PS5 and Series X, and there's some concern if more publishers will follow suit, well, at least for Ubisoft, that won't be the case for just this fall, who knows onward, because what we're hearing is that during the Ubisoft earnings call, they confirm that for this holiday season, all their games across the board will be $60, that's including PS5 and Series X releases. But they did specifically say, we are concentrating on the Christmas release, we have decided those games will be launched at $60. So this implies that perhaps onward, we could see a difference in price, like $70. And it is worth noting here that they're offering free next-gen upgrades, so it is a little weird to price PS5 Series X games at $70. Most people would just buy the PS4 version, get that free upgrade, save themselves $10, whereas 2K is side-skirting this by saying if you want a free upgrade, you have to buy the Mamba Forever Edition, which is already a premium at $100, right? So they don't have that weird situation where you can work your way to a free upgrade or work your way to the PS5 version for $10 less. So as of right now, we don't have anything concrete. Just one publisher's doing it, and then one saying for the fall, and then they won't acknowledge anything beyond that. So not looking encouraging, but that's where we sit. Moving on to our next news story, just a few days ago, Insomniac Games casually tweeted out that for Spider-Man Miles Morales on PS5, there will be a new performance setting where they say, swipe through the city like never before on PS5 with an optional 4K 60fps performance mode. So this is great news. You know, a lot of people really clamoring for performance settings to be more commonplace in console games. And remember, this is something that really took place in 2016 with the introduction of PS4 Pro, and then further on with X1 X, where at least in that circumstance, it was usually an option of favor resolution or favor frame rate. And it didn't necessarily guarantee you were getting a full 4K or a solid 60, just, you know, which way do you want to steer that? But here we've got Insomniac Games saying, look, we'll bump down some actual visual effects, and then you can get the full display resolution and a full 60 frames per second. So that is awesome. And it also really highlights just where we're at right now, right? I think it really demonstrates to people, and I think most are understanding now, that it's not a matter of which console has more power. It's a matter of where do you allocate your resources. And a lot of developers like to push visual fidelity. And this might even show, when you turn on the setting, what Spider-Man would look like when you bump down some of those visual enhancements like ray tracing that we're seeing in next generation games, right? Ray tracing is very intensive on hardware, and it does look very beautiful in the right examples. Lighting's very important for how games look visually. And so, you know, that's why we're seeing 30 FPS games on PS5 and Series X, right? It's such a silly conversation to have between the two. There's 30 FPS games on both, but hopefully it will be more commonplace that developers support this. However, remember, the console manufacturers, both Sony and Microsoft, will definitely not mandate this, because it's a very odd mandate to have for all developers across the board. Now, this isn't brand new news. However, a lot of people talking about this, which is Metacritic has now employed a 36-hour waiting period for actually reviewing a game for user reviews, right? This is after The Last of Us Part 2 debacle. And for a long time, at least when it comes to review bombing, this has always been like an issue for Metacritic, and there's never been a feasible answer. Some people have always had really outlandish suggestions, like work out with the publishers or have a download code or that. No, that's not going to work, of course. You have to make it easy and accessible. But this is what they're doing, a 36-hour waiting period, which I don't think really will deter that many people. It'll deter some when it comes to review bombing, but if a game, you know, comes out as controversial as The Last of Us Part 2, if it, you know, angers enough people, they'll wait just so they can go do it. Although, to be fair, that purposeful message that says, please play the game before you wait, maybe we should be fair and actually play games before we rate them. I don't know, maybe that's too much to ask people. But, again, if the hive mind is alive and well, then they'll wait 36 hours. Next up, how's this for a really weird news story, which is that a UK company, Truly Exquisite, has already announced a golden PlayStation 5. Which is to say that they will buy a stock PlayStation 5 and plate it in gold. Real gold, which is what they do. This company sells a lot of electronics that are plated in gold for upwards of a few thousand pounds, probably upwards of tens of thousands of pounds. And you will have the option for PlayStation 5 where it will look truly blinged out. This is not a new trend, by the way. This company and many companies have done this for all sorts of electronics. My thing is, I wish I could see like a real life snapshot of one of these actually getting made and being displayed, which we've seen one for a PS4, but otherwise, I would love to see how this thing looks for PS5. It would look so ridiculous and gaudy, and the more I look at this picture, I don't know, I'm kind of actually liking it. Not that I could afford it, but I do like it. Now with all that out of the way, it's time to get to Let's Talk Plus, the weekly Let's Talk PlayStation giveaway, where one of you could win a $10 PSN code, and I would like to congratulate this viewer right here. I will be contacting you very soon via email or Twitter. If you would like to win a $10 PSN code, it's very simple. Follow the link down below. Support in this channel a number of ways can gain you an entry, and I'll announce the winner next week because I'm trying to pay for your games. Those are all the news stories that I want to talk about with you all. Our Tuesday video was PS5 versus the digital edition PS5, weighing out the pros and cons, which mostly cons. So if you are considering the PS5 digital edition, check out that thorough conversation. There are a good amount of drawbacks that you really are looking into there. And this coming Tuesday, another upload, but admittedly, we are getting to a point where a few of these projects I'm working on will be done. So we might do a Monday upload for some weeks. And in that case, that means we'll also have a Wednesday upload on top of that as well. And also pending any major PS5 news that might warrant a video right away. Obviously, we'll cover major events and anything notable that comes out of Sony's output when it comes to PS5 stuff. But other than that, that's it. That concludes this week's episode of Let's Talk PlayStation. I'm Ryan Benecke. Thank you all so much for talking with me. And I will see you all next Friday.